You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 216-578-0850. If you want to check in with us here on CBD. By the way, Adam Kaplan reporting, nothing official yet, but expectation from many in the scouting community is that Memphis quarterback Paxton Lynch will wind up declaring for the draft.
For all you Buckeye fans out there, too, I saw a tweet, an update via Twitter that came through Bleacher Report, and it was that Darren Lee, weak side linebacker for the Ohio State Buckeyes, highly considering also going to the NFL draft.
Interesting. Huh. And we know that from the blue that they will not have the butt going to the draft. The butt will be back.
Good.
Butt back. Good. So somebody just texted me, Adam Schwartz said, we used to wear badass rayon short sleeve button downs, Simpson ties, and Z Cavaricci pants. Did you ever have Z Cavaricci pants?
What are those? No. You're obviously not.
I never did either.
What is it?
Really?
What?
No.
Oh, God, they were the greatest. They were actually the worst ever.
So what are they?
They were pants that were like hugely pleated and like super wide.
Like hammer pants, sort of?
Kind of. And then they were tapered down, but they're like dress pants, and then it said Z Cavaricci right on the thing. And they were big.
Were they high end?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Not really.
I'm from Lorraine, bro. You're an Eastsider. I get it.
I grew up in California, so I'm so
even
far,
worse.
Much
even worse.
West than you.
Even more. Much more of a silver spoon out there.
But anyway,
a shiny silver
I used
spoon.
To have that shiny. Okay, unbelievable.
Same.
Why don't we just go? You guys want to go
around
the league?
I had Dockers.
Hold on. Here's what Doug Pattinson
I had
says.
Dockers.
Seinfeld talking to George Costanza when he was in sweats. Quote: "This tells me you're waving the white flag and have given up completely." There you go, Matt Wilhelm.
Need we say more?
There you go. All right, let's go around the league.
Number one.
Is Cam Newton the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
No. Cam Newton will most likely, as of now, he's the most valuable player in the National Football League as of right now. But to say he is the best quarterback right now, I think is smacking a few other quarterbacks in the face, because Cam Irving is good and he's actually great for the Carolina Panthers. But Cam Irving, a lot like Russell Wilson, I think in another system, not supported by a great defense, would shine through with flaws that we're not seeing because he's, in a Carolina system.
Cam Irving, I would say right now, might get my vote for most valuable player in the NFL, but he is not the best quarterback, although he is playing at a high level. He is certainly in the top five this season. Tom Brady, I think, is the best quarterback in the National Football League.
Number two.
All right, three quarters of the way into the season, guys. Who would be your offensive and defensive rookies of the year?
Gosh. Let's go through the draft. Who are the top 10 picks in the draft?
The top 10 picks, like on offense?
I'm thinking there's Winston, Mariota.
Winston, Mariota, Cooper.
Amari Cooper is a guy that I think is going to get some votes for the offensive from me.
He's slowed down a little.
But so has Gurley, who looked like he was going to run away with the offensive rookie of the year. Who are some of the defensive guys?
I mean, to me, the offensive rookie of the year, how is it not Jameis Winston?
True.
That team playing at a high
level.
Famous Jameis playing very well. I think it's got to be Jameis Winston.
What about D?
What?
Defense.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Defensive rookie of the year for me comes down to two players. I'm not sure who I would give the nod to right now, but it comes down to Marcus Peters, the cornerback of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Or Ronald Darby, the cornerback of the Buffalo Bills. I think those two guys have been head and shoulders the best defenders in the league.
Darby, I could have told you back when we were in Rochester for the scrimmages that he was so good. Yeah. He did not look like it took me to understand who he was for me to learn that he was a rookie. I go, yo, who's that? And it's like, oh, he's a rookie. We drafted him out of. And I was like, whoa, he can play.
Did you actually say, yo, who's that?
Oh, of course I did.
Yo. He was taken pick number 50. Second round pick 18, pick number 50. First round pick 18 was Marcus Peters. So 18th pick in the first two rounds yielded arguably the best defenders in this draft. I think it's got to be Jameis Winston. His body of work this year, very, very impressive to me what he's done in taking a team that finished. Because you look at Mariota, and yes, Mariota has been good as well, but they went from picking first, second last year, and they are going to pick probably first or second again this year. You look at what Jameis Winston's done, turning things around there. 2,877 yards, 17 touchdowns, 11 picks. He's run for 5 touchdowns as well. I think that he has been I think he's the rookie of the year on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm with you.
Gurley had a chance, but he has tapered off
big time,
massively.
Big time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the team that he's playing on.
Of course.
Not getting any help from Nick Foles, that's
no,
for sure.
No, he's not.
Number 3.
Well, Case Keenum. All right, guys. Yeah, we watched what happened Monday night with Washington and Dallas. Who's going to win this crazy NFC East?
I'm going to say the New York Giants. I don't think the Cowboys can run together enough wins to get back in this race. I think the Eagles are too up and down, and I think that Washington will find a way to screw it up just as they did on Monday night.
What was Deshaun? They would have had the ball at the 25-yard line. What was he doing? He was not elusive enough to do what he was attempting to do.
He looked like he's never played the game.
He did look like he had never played the game, Dino. You are right.
I'm going to say the Giants.
I think the Giants as well. The Eagles, too many problems. Cowboys, not enough offense. And the Redskins, well.
Kirk Cousins. Come on.
He's playing well at home.
It's good. You got Elijah and Odell Beckham.
By the way, what'd you guys think about DeMarco Murray going to Jeff Lurie and complaining about his playing time?
From what I understand of Chip Kelly, it's like talking to the wall. So it doesn't surprise me that he felt that was the only place that his voice would be heard. By the way, Chip Kelly saying, when told that Chip Kelly or LeSean McCoy was told in his, he's doing a press conference right now,
that he's still
with the Buffalo media. And Chip Kelly was saying, I hope we can shake hands. This is LeSean McCoy, and I quote, "Listen, man, Chip can't shake. Beep. There's nothing for us to talk about. He can't say beep to me."
That's phenomenal.
Yes. He is, by the way, I think he's going to have an absolute monster game.
I hope so. I hope Rex gives him the 35 touches.
Yeah, so he might put up 2 bills in the game.
He's going to go for the bigs. He did say, now it's funny. You
is
talked
it in
about
Philly?
The owner. Hold on. He talked about the owner. This game, I don't know if it's in Philly. He talked about the owner. I'll look it up while I'm doing this. And he said he won't shake Chip Kelly's hand, but he will shake Jeffrey Lurie's hand.
Of course he will. He signs the checks.
Right. Not anymore.
Well, he
did.
He did.
Yeah, but he says, "I had a good relationship with him." He has no relationship with Chip Kelly, obviously.
And you know what? Just in expounding and talking about the DeMarco Murray situation.
That game is in Philly, by the way.
It is in Philly, which is going to be great. Oh, those Philly fans are going to love on LeSean when he comes walking out of that tunnel. But, I can picture in my head that Lurie and DeMarco didn't walk up into first class, and he's probably sitting in first class anyway, too, and have this specific agenda in talking to Jeffrey Lurie about Chip Kelly and his lies to DeMarco. It's, how are things going? You healthy? Let's right this ship. Let's so on and so forth. And the conversation evolved into maybe a little talk of what has now hit media sources.
That is going to be so fun to watch.
Oh, cannot wait.
That's going to be good. That makes that game so much more interesting.
And finally, guys, here at Around the League.
Number 4.
The Jets, the Steelers, and the Chiefs are all 3 games back in their divisions with 4 to go. Which one, if any, has the best chance to catch their division leader?
I'm going to say the Chiefs. Brock Osweiler and the Broncos showing a little wear. The Chiefs haven't lost.
Chiefs are where? 7-5?
They're 3 games back.
Yeah, 3 games back.
I don't think the Jets are catching the Patriots.
No.
And I don't think the Steelers are catching the Bengals.
No. Now, I'm going to say that the Texans catch the Colts.
They're tied.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, they've caught this. Okay.
Great call.
We'll take over.
Good call.
Okay, it was my best way to say that none of the other divisions, the team in second place will catch the winner right now.
All right, hold on. So here it is. You have in the East, you have New England 10-2, Jets 7-5. You say no chance.
No chance.
Cincinnati 10-2, Pittsburgh 7-5. They do play each other this week.
No chance.
I agree. Indy, Houston 6-6, Denver 10-2, KC 7-5. I think there is a chance there. I think if New England had come through and beaten Denver.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
All
right. Washington, Philly, and the Giants all 5-7. Green Bay, Minnesota, both 8-4. I think Green Bay wins that division.
I do too.
Carolina 12-0. They've already clinched their division. We don't even need to talk about that. By the way, Tampa Bay 6-6.
Famous Jameis.
Arizona 10-2. Seattle 7-5.
No chance.
No chance.
I think Arizona will finish 14-2.
Arizona has already won the head-to-head game. They play each other in week 17. Think about this.
Hold on. Just wait.
Wait 1 second here. Just wait 1 second. They're 7-5 right now.
Okay.
At Baltimore. This is Seattle. At Baltimore.
Win.
That's a win, dog.
8-5.
Home for Cleveland. That's a win, dog.
I didn't say that. You did.
Nah. Week 16, home for St. Louis.
Win.
That's a win. So they're really basically 10-5.
Okay.
At Arizona, week 17. For Arizona, who stands at 10-2.
They'll win their next three.
Well, how many of those do
they've
they
have? They've got Minnesota this Thursday. Tomorrow, right?
They've got Minnesota at home on Thursday.
Win.
Yeah.
At Philadelphia.
Win.
Home for Green Bay. Home for Seattle.
Okay. Here's what it boils down to.
They need to lose three of those games for Seattle to have a chance.
Right. And the bigger issue is if something goes awry, the one thing that is Bruce Arians' nightmare is to have to start Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and his guys versus Seattle, a hungry Seattle team that has something to play for week 17.
But what if you could knock them out?
Right.
You're going to be clinched, but what if you could knock them out?
That's the situation.
Would you want to knock
them
out?
That's the situation in 2010 with the Chicago Bears.
I think if they've clinched the second seed and they have nothing else but to knock Seattle out, what's the point?
It would be a trip to Carolina.
So here's Denver, by the way. At Pittsburgh, easily could be a loss for Denver.
Correct.
Cincinnati, easily could be a loss for Denver. They need to lose one
of the
other two.
Where's the Cincinnati game?
Home for Oakland, home for San Diego, week 17.
Win-win.
Three of their last four at home. I don't think anybody's catching anybody, but if there was, it's going to be Kansas City, Denver, because Kansas City's schedule is pretty easy. Versus San Diego, win. At Baltimore, win. Versus Cleveland, probably win. Versus Oakland.
I didn't say that.
They could run the table.
You're right.
But you still need three losses from Denver. And they beat Denver. They split with Denver on the season. So you have to get a division record and all the yada yas. But I think that's the only one. I think it's going to be too tough for any of those teams. But that would be the only one that I think could possibly you could see that happen.
Is that it, Dino? You got
that's
one more.
That's it. That is it for around the league.
We have gone around the league. When we come back, we'll go with phone calls if we've got them. 216-578-0850 as the Browns get ready to take on the 49ers. We also will hear from Danny Shelton, the Browns rookie defensive lineman. That's coming up when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season's here. That means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, beer, and sports. 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with us. But now let's go ahead and check in with Browns rookie defensive lineman Danny Shelton, who's basically got a full college season under his belt here in his first year in the National Football League.
Where you guys are right now and on the seven-game losing streak, and just how tough it is to be at this place and how bad it is right now?
I mean, we're struggling right now. I mean, all anyone can think about is trying to win a game. And so it's tough when things don't go your way. And, beat at home especially.
What's it like? I mean, it has to be depressing to look up and see the stadium nearly empty for the whole fourth quarter, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you always have, some loyal fans who stick it out, but I don't blame them. I mean, it was a tough loss. We just got to play better.
Danny, what are the defensive meetings like today after you guys give up 37 points?
Disappointing, really. We didn't get any of our goals. We didn't meet any of our goals that we set for the game. And, personally, I played, not as well as I wanted to. I missed two tackles that could help the team out, but it's just something we have to learn and continue to grow with.
Which plays were those specifically?
Do not remember, but definitely on film.
When they went with those different formations yesterday, the one on the goal line when Dalton stuck in and then nearly lined up some linemen out wide. That catch you guys off guard or off the
No, you know, those are the things that Cincinnati's known for, and those are things that we prepared for, but you know, obviously couldn't handle it, couldn't take care of business.
How shocked are you that, if that's the right word, that the defense is so bad this season?
I'm just disappointed, really, because you know, we have a lot of expectations for each other and this season, and we haven't been able to produce the way we wanted to, and really it's really just you just got to continue to work and you know, finish the season off.
Just to follow on that Dalton question, on that TD question, look like there's confusion on the defense when they reset and everything. Like, guys didn't know exactly where they should be. Is that incorrect? Then there was no confusion.
No, it's just a part of our game plan. We got to, you know, continue to stay focused. I mean, there were times where the offense would, you know, come out quick and in a crazy front, and you know, we'd have to be able to catch that. And you know, sometimes it's a couple guys who don't catch it, or you know, maybe it's just one guy. But we just got to continue to play as a team. And
has there been any finger pointing, Danny? I mean, when things are going on.
No, it's more of everybody taking accountability for their actions. You know, really just trying to figure out why we can't, you know, win a game and why we can't, you know, complete the goals that we set.
Danny, have you guys lost the trust factor? Are you guys losing some belief in what the defensive coaches are saying because you go out there and it doesn't seem to appear to them that it's working with the stuff that they tell you?
No, not at all. I mean, as long as there's, you know, fans who still believe in us, I mean, we're going to continue to believe in each other no matter what. But, you know, those fans that still believe still inspire us to continue to work, continue to wake up every morning and get back to work.
But you trust the coaches and everything that they tell you?
What's the message from some of the veterans? I mean, you're a rookie. What are the veterans saying to you guys?
Really the same thing. I mean, all you can say is just to continue to work. I mean, continue to put your tape out there. And, you know.
Thanks. Any explanation for why you guys are not performing up to expectations this year? Can you figure it out?
No, not really. I mean, it's just the way it goes. I mean, you win some and you lose some, and you know, right now we're losing a lot. We just got to continue to stick together.
That's Browns rookie defense tackle Danny Shelton. It sounds like the season is taking its toll on young Danny in terms of his energy and youthful exuberance.
I do. And I think this is – and I've said it time and time again. A lot of these guys have been the man in college, especially like Danny getting drafted 12th overall, you know, deservingly so. They've won a lot of football games for the most part in college. And so you reap the benefit – of building up your ego and your head swelling to the fact where you hate losing because it happens so few and far between. And then your first experience at the pinnacle of your life, in most cases, other than maybe getting married or being birthed, is to play in the National Football League, and you have a 2-10 record, and you're not feeling the work that you feel like you're putting in watching the tape, in the weight room, on the practice field, turn into any type of positive result. So it's negative after negative after negative after negative. And even the strongest men, although, as I consistently say, the checks continue to come, start to break, start to bend. The relationships start to, you know, grow apart between the coaches, between the players. And so that's why even yesterday, you know, having Marlon Moore on the show and him, you know, reverberating, you know, that they're one solid group, and him talking about the wide receiver room is refreshing to hear, but sometimes the way it actually is not the way it's spoken of.
Yes, and you are exactly right about that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We will also go ahead and get back in the mailbag. You can use hashtag AskCBD, and you and I will answer some of the Ohio Business Machine hot topics as we wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and by the way, when a medical mistake causes you injury, I'm sorry, but you can do something about it by calling 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and I hear the sweet sounds of my old mopedman here in the studio. We're going to go to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Daryl in Maple Heights. Daryl.
Hi, Nate and Matt. You know, what really kills me is this constant negativity that I believe our coaches brought on by feeding the media. What purpose does it take to devalue your talent, bring all your problems, air them outside? He should just say, hey, this is a family. Like any family, we're going to deal with our problems in-house and not feed them with all this negativity. And I think that's at the root of all the problems. But it was the same thing when Hillis was here. They did the same thing. They air everything in the media. They tell too much that doesn't have to be told, and they lose focus.
There's a lot of negativity because they've lost seven games in a row by an average margin of 17 points. That's why there's negativity. I don't know that it – the media – is the media piling on? Sure. Does the media have to be doing what it's
Is it
doing?
Really difficult to pile
no.
on?
No.
Are they doing anything on the field for them to not pile on?
No.
Can we get a reprieve for 1 week to not have to pile and celebrate a victory?
Well, my point is, why bring up the innuendos about Gilbert, you know, his personal situation? Why drag Johnny, all his things out in the open? Just cut it off. Concentrate on football. Let's talk football. Let's not necessarily always be concentrating on the baggage. Concentrate on the things that they can do.
How about this? Really fast. Sorry to cut you off. What is the most positive thing that you see on Sundays when the Cleveland Browns play football? Oh, he's off?
That's my bad.
Dino?
I had the quick trick. Sorry
that's
about right. that, Daryl.
I was just asking for a fan's perspective on what's positive that happens on Sundays.
I'd like to know that too, because sometimes we get calls saying, you guys are so negative, you're so negative.
What do you hang your hat on that you can't wait to see next year?
I'd like to know that.
What? I don't know.
That's what I hope we find out over the final four games. That's what I hope. That is the whole goal. That's what the final four games are
could
about.
Be Johnny, could not. So if I were contemplating, you know, becoming a season ticket holder, I wouldn't do it now. I'd wait till after the final four football games. That's the best look at the product I'll get next year.
Yes, agreed with that. All right, let's go now to 216-578-0850. Rich in Parma. Rich, welcome to the show.
Cool. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How
are
you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
You know, they're talking about playing the first-round draft pick to get a quarterback. That's not their problem. What they ought to pick up are a couple stud linemen offensively, defensively, a great wide receiver.
Isn't that what we did this year in the draft? Offensive lineman and a defensive lineman?
Yeah, who did the picking, though? That guy's going to be gone soon anyhow. Get some. He's got some brains. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not going to say that Ray Farmer.
Oh, you don't have to say that. No, I can't. But you know what? You can take any quarterback that we have right now.
Our quarterback play has not been the issue. I'll give you that. What I'm wondering is if it is, you know, it's hard to say, and I think this is something that Matt and I have been talked about and talked around. Is this a talent issue, or is this a scheme issue?
Yes.
Is it both?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I can say what I really think it means.
Okay. All right. So don't. Good. That's good. That's good stuff right there. Dynamite. I hear you.
Yeah, dynamite is exactly where my mind was going and what I would do with dynamite.
Dynamite drop in money.
Yes.
No, I just feel like I think right now, if we're really evaluating, there's no surprise. Like, what more evaluation do you need to do? You know, whatever we're doing, whatever process we have is not good enough to be competitive on a week-to-week basis. Because as you've pointed out on Monday, statistically, we're not even close. We're not close. Correct. The talent's not talented enough. The playmakers don't make enough plays. They're not well enough prepared. Mental errors happen, but not on a cumulative level each and every week at times that another – you can hide a mental error. Sure. And a mental error does not always lead. You can have a mental error on the backside of a run. Oh, I went in the wrong gap. But my buddy made a tackle for a two-yard gain. Awesome. Our mental errors are happening at the point of attack. When a play needs to be made, a mental error happens.
Because, and I'll go back to the word that we have now heard from like seven defenders that we have interviewed, confusion. Nobody knows what they're supposed to be doing, it seems like, on plays. It seems, as you call it, muddy. Armani Brown yesterday said people are confused. People don't know where they're supposed to be. Then they're trying to make plays
that
they're not supposed to make.
It is their job. It is their job, first of all, to know what to do. And then second of all, it is the coach's job to know that these individuals are ready to do what they need to do on a Sunday.
Well, part of it, I think it needs to be clearly communicated to them that they know what they're supposed
to do. Well, that process, I don't know.
Right.
You know? And to go back to my point, and not to, you know, while we're in this frame of mind, is to go back to my whole point about guys, you know, having one foot in the parking lot, you know, planning their off seasons. As they're planning their off seasons, the time that they're putting into shipping their car and getting out of their lease and picking a flight, could that not be used towards watching film, spending an extra hour in the building, lifting weights a second time in the day?
Of course. Of course it could.
So those are all the negative things that creep in when you feel as if you're playing for nothing. It's that, get me out of this bad dream is what these guys are thinking.
And that is the issue that certainly has been confronting the Cleveland Browns. Go to Gene and Boardman. Gene, welcome to the show.
My call.
You got it, man.
Thank you.
Are you there? Yeah, you know, I've got a question that I've never heard anybody bring up or anything on your shows. His last name is Haslin, the one who's the owner. Jimmy Haslin, is that what it is?
Jimmy Haslin.
You are correct. Jimmy Haslin is the owner of the Cleveland Browns.
Now, before he bought the Browns, didn't he have 20% of the Steelers?
He did have a piece of the Steelers, yes.
Okay, so 12%. Now you would think, yeah, or 12%. So you would think in the time that he was with the Steelers, okay, some of that leadership would have rubbed off on him. He could have made a lot of ties with the Steelers who aren't going to stay with the Steelers anymore, all right? Why hasn't he approached any other ex-Steeler management has been, you know, that don't play for the Steelers anymore?
You're right, and that's a very good point, and thank you very much for the call. Sometimes it's very difficult when people are content with their position there in Pittsburgh for whatever reason, their family, their compensation, the winning culture that they have there. Why would you want to leave and come here and essentially put a lot of those things at risk?
And he was a minority owner.
Right, minority. But bigger than that, and this, the position that I take is, to his point, he has a point, but I'm going to put a little twist on it, is when you're there as a minority owner, you understand where your money's coming from and why your money is coming in, and the product that you understand the product that you put on your field, you understand the fan experience, you understand everything about the culture that is created within that building for you to have to put your money in the first place and then understand why you're getting it back, you know, hand over fist there in Pittsburgh, right?
Yep.
What escapes me is why he doesn't take what he learned on how the Pittsburgh Steelers operate as an organization and bring it here and drop it here.
I think he has, but part of it is also the people. Part of it is the people that you
have.
Does
he not hire and fire the people?
Well, he does, but it's also difficult to get the Ben Roethlisbergers don't just fall out of the sky for teams.
Okay. It's bigger than Ben.
It is bigger than Ben, but I think that part of it, too, is he's got to learn on his own and go through these things, and unfortunately it is painful right now, but you have to hope that here's someone who's been incredibly successful in business is going to be able to be incredibly successful here in the football world in running that football business. When we come back, we will wrap it up. We got a few more phone calls, final thoughts. Cleveland Browns Daily is driven by Liberty Ford. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time to get our final thoughts. We're going to wrap things up here. Dino, we got a couple callers. We'll go to Anthony in Kent.
I'm taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hey, a couple things. I'm going to muddy the waters here in a couple seconds here.
All right.
I just heard that conversation about Haslam and what he isn't doing for us, but at the end of last year, most of the people, the consensus was, you know, Pez is doing a decent job, let's give him another year. And now here we are complaining that Haslam gave another year. We have to give it time. We always say coaches need 3 years. We're not giving him 3 years. What if next year everything gets turned around? You have to give him the time that we say he should have before we start complaining not to give it to him. Now, some people say we need a quarterback. Some people say we need multiple pieces. Well, McCown played within the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks of the season when he was there.
Quarterback is not our issue this year. I agree with you on that.
Not an issue, and we still suck. We had a bunch of different pieces. We still suck. We just need time. People need to just relax, as that guy from Green Bay says. Just relax, give ourselves some time, and I think one more draft, one more year at Tetton, we're going to be okay.
Would you change anything?
I would. Well, you know, people overlook, I think, the fact that we lost our offensive line coach, and that's been our problem, a big problem, with not running the ball and not protecting our quarterback. And that may be part of the issue that we're not seeing. Nobody's talking about it. But no, I wouldn't change a whole lot. I would make sure that we stay healthy. We can't do that, but that's part of the problem. We got to have a healthy defense because our defense sucks. And our offensive line needs to gel a little bit.
But you just said our defense sucks, and you wouldn't change anything on the defense side of the ball.
That's
other than
right.
The fact that a guy, because every team's banged up right now.
It's a time thing. It's a time thing.
Okay.
3 years. Go.
I mean, at some point, though, if you've got a situation, you got a situation where – if for let's just say they lose all four games, it's going to put you at 2-19 in your last 21. That's just a tough sell in for any team in the National Football League. Let's go to Frank in Rochester. Frank.
Hey, Nate, man, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Just listening to that guy call, you know, he's got a lot of good points. And the one thing, you know, everybody talked about what we did on the offensive line, the defensive line, the running back. You know, right now I don't see a lot of heart on the team. And what we don't have, we don't have a linebacker. It's worth a damn. I'm sorry, but our linebackers are terrible. And I think that's one part of the defense that definitely needs to be addressed. I don't care if we draft five. We got to find some guys that can run and hit, not get run over. Mingo, I mean, the kid tried, but he's not what we need. We got to find something to replace him. And as far as the draft goes, if there ain't, we got to give Johnny a chance, and hopefully he works. But there's one kid in the draft. If I was Farmer, I would take him above everybody. Is that kid from Stanford, the running back?
McCaffrey.
I tell you what, you want somebody to build a team around with some heart and guts. You put that kid, I'd take that kid in a minute.
That kid's going to end up in New England. What? Mark my words. That guy will end up with Bill Belichick.
29th pick of the draft.
They don't have a first rounder this year.
Oh, okay.
They might have to come up into the second round, which would go against. All right. Let's go. We got one more caller here. We got time for one more. Let's go to Preston on a cell. Preston.
Hey, I agree with all the people that just got through calling, but in 99, when we came into the league, they told us they wasn't going to give us nothing. We need Cleveland Brown personnel in the front office. That's the whole problem.
So you need somebody who played for the Cleveland Browns, you're saying?
Yeah, they should have. Cozart, Jim Brown, Leroy Kelly, all them guys should have been in the front office instead of giving it to Steve Bartola from the West Coast. He don't know nothing about what we got to do up here.
Bartolo?
It's Carmen Policy, actually.
It's Carmen Policy, who was, by the way, so unsuccessful with the 49ers that why would you ever want him to come and have anything to do with
what did he accomplish, Nathan?
Nothing. Nothing, apparently.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the whole problem. We got to get Browns people in there.
How many Okay. When have the Browns won? You'd have to go back to guys from the 60s if you wanted Browns that won anything running the Browns. How many teams in the NFL have former players running their organizations?
I can think of one. John Elway.
And that's everybody's model.
Yes. Who won multiple Super Bowls. And he seems to be doing a good job, but
Marino's not. Montana's not. Young's not. Esiason's not. Sims is not. Kelly's not.
Brett Favre.
Aikman not.
Aikman's not.
Favre's not.
Not typically how it works. Anyway, appreciate all the discourse as always. Tomorrow we get to hear from the coordinators.
My favorite day!
Woo! Very excited to hear what Flip has to say, but really interested in what Jimmy O'Neill has to say. Can't miss stuff. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Want to thank my man Matt Wilhelm, our producer Dave DiNatale, and all of you. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Wilhelm and Dino, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.